It took Billy and Slim a while to get all the childish laughter out of their systems. Slim boiled up a pot of coffee, and they sat down beside the stove, drinking coffee and recounting every detail of Billy's entrance into the house. I noticed that my name came up fairly often in this conversation. They would say something about old Hank, then glance at me and laugh some more. Seemed to me that they were trying to milk a dead horse. I mean, I hadn't cared much for the experience the first time around, and it didn't get any better the second or third. I continued glaring daggers at them, and more than once, when Billy was pointing his big hairy finger at me, he had black hairs growing out between the joints of his fingers. I growled at him. Oh, and he had black hairs growing on the back of his hand, too. I never trust a guy with hairy hands. The best part of this conversation between Slim and Billy came when Billy took a big swig of coffee and found a drowned cricket in the bottom of his cup. He stared at it for a second, then said, "Slim, I think the protein's running a little high on this coffee of yours." Slim leaned out of his chair and frowned. "By gollies, it sure is, but it was the same price as the regular." Billy went to the sink and poured out the last of his coffee. If he had tossed a glance in my direction, he would have noticed a big cowdog smile on my face. The cause of justice had been served. Well, after the cricket incident, I began to feel restless and bored. I felt a cold draft blowing across the floor and suspected that Billy had left the door open a crack. I gave Drover the signal to move out, and we went into the hallway to investigate. Sure enough, the door was open just a crack. I managed to hook a front paw around the door and pulled it open a little wider, and we stepped outside into the storm. I took several deep breaths and gave myself a good shake. Drover, a ranch dog has no business spending time inside a house. That stuffy air can ruin a dog quicker than anything. He was shivering.
Yeah, but that's the kind of run I've always wanted to be.
I'll try to forget you said that, son. Has it occurred to you that Billy's pickup is sitting right in front of us and we haven't marked his tires?
Not really. I was thinking about how cold I am.
I shook my head. Stop feeling sorry for yourself and mark the back tires. I'll take the front.
But I'm soaking cold, and this leg of mine...
Never mind the leg, Drover. Do your job. I'll meet you back on the porch in 2 minutes. I nudged him off the porch with my nose and went right to work. I sniffed out the left front tire and ran a field analysis on the various scents and chemical compounds it contained. My analysis turned up a powerful showing of... rubber... No big surprise there. After all, most tires are made of... I hurried around to the right side and gave it the same careful laboratory analysis. This one proved more interesting. It tested positive for snow, caliche dust, ragweed, sagebrush, and another scent I couldn't quite identify. It might very well have come from another dog, so I wasted no time in erasing his phony mark and adding one of my own. In case you haven't already guessed, I take great pride in my ability to lay a good strong mark on a set of tires. When a vehicle leaves my ranch, I want the world to know where it's been. Well, it didn't take me long to mark those two front tires. I mean, I'm the same dog who's accustomed to knocking out an entire pickup and stock trailer all by myself, and then rushing to the yard gate to bark at the driver. That's an 8-tire job. A lot of dogs wouldn't even attempt a job that big, but it's nothing special to me. On your bigger assignments, like the 8-tire deals, a dog's overall physical condition and endurance become a major factor. So I knocked out my tires in record time and went to the porch to wait for Drover. He didn't come. And he didn't come. I looked towards the rear of the pickup and didn't see him. What was the little mutt doing back there? What was taking him so long? I hate to wait, So after waiting and hating every second of it and getting bored, I pushed myself up and swaggered to the rear of the pickup. I figured I'd end up having to mark his tires for him. I passed the right rear tire and noticed his mark. Well, at least he'd done something. I continued around the back end of the pickup, and there I found him, sitting down and gazing up at the swirling snow, or something in that general direction. Drover, if I'd known it was going to take you 5 minutes to perform a simple procedure, I would have done it myself. What's the deal?
Well, I got distracted, Hank.
I see. In that case, let's talk about distractions. Distractions are one of your problems. You shouldn't allow yourself to be distracted by distractions.
What about girls?
They shouldn't be distracted either. Distractions are a problem for everyone, regardless of age, gender, breed, or national origin.
Yeah, but what if I got distracted by a girl instead of a distraction?
That's no excuse. In our line of work... Why do you ask?
Oh, I just wondered.
I see. No, when we're on a job, Drover, we've got no time for... You're not listening to me. His gaze seemed to be directed up towards the pickup bed.
What?
I said, you're not listening to me.
I can't hear you, Hank. I'm being distracted.
Drover, this is the very problem I'm trying to help you with. But I can't help you if you continue to be distracted.
I know, but I can't help it.
In that case, I have no choice but to... I swung my gaze around and in an upward direction and locked in on... Huh? Holy smokes. My heart raced. My head swam, whatever the fool word is. My legs grew weak. My entire body began to tremble and shake and quiver and quake. My pulse shot up. My breath came in short bursts. I felt hot and cold at the same time. And little pins and needles of excitement moved down my backbone and out to the end of my tail. I was losing control of my own destiny. My eyes crossed, and I began speaking in tongues. Fellers, all of a sudden, I forgot about giving Drover a lecture on distractions, because all of a sudden, I had stumbled onto one of the biggest distractions in the entire world. I found myself looking up into the big, brown eyes and the adoring gaze of Miss Beulah, the collie. She was standing at the rear of the pickup bed, looking down at me. Even though it was pretty dark and snowing hard, I could see the light of love shining in her eyes.
Hello, Hank. Hello, Drover.
At the mention of his name, Drover lost control of himself. He began rolling around on the ground and kicking his legs in the air.
Oh, my gosh! It's Beulah. I heard her voice with my own ears, and there she is in the back of the pickup.
These strange spasms that Drover has from time to time never fail to embarrass me. I mean, a guy should make every attempt to keep his feelings under control, especially if his feelings reveal emotions that are basically chilly and stylish. Silly and childish, I should say. On the one hand, I could understand the powerful effect that Miss Beulah's voice had on Drover. Even I felt a certain tingle of excitement. But on the other hand, a guy must resist the temptation to reveal all his cards, so to speak. In the game of love, if you reveal all your cards, you will soon reach a point where all your cards have been revealed. I stepped over the little mutt and let my eyes drift up to Miss Beulah's face. Oh, my goodness, I believe we have company. And my goodness again, it turns out to be Miss Beulah. This was the opening shot of what would surely prove to be the final battle for the fortress of Miss Beulah's heart. And best of all, her stick-tailed bird dog friend was nowhere in sight.